Hello, race fans. Welcome to the Weekly Overtake. In this episode, we'll be covering the French Grand Prix. Myself, Josh, and our co-host for the weekend, Nash, is here to talk about all the action that happened in Le Mans this weekend. So we'll just take it away. Nash, what'd you see?
Thanks, Josh. After the fact, it's kind of a standard race. It was a Marquez clinic at the end. Started off pretty well. Saw Miller challenge him pretty well. But actually, first time Marquez had been passed in a while, I think. It wasn't really used to that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he got back in front and just checked out pretty much. As far as the rest of the podium, it was Ducati day. So it was a good call on your part as far as they were Petrucci and Davi battling it out. And So the big takeaway is Marquez winning that 300th on win, posting that up there, big deal about him winning that. It's rightfully so, being Marquez has won a good amount of those. I don't remember what the actual number that he's won now on a Honda, but a good chunk of that's definitely him. And then Ducati, obviously, 2, 3, and 4th place with Miller coming in at 4th. And then KTM actually had 3 bikes in scoring points, with Espargaró being 6th place. I don't know if you saw that too much. As far, I think Zarco was, sorry, Zarco.
13th for Zarco.
13th, yep. And then Oliveira was 15th. So it rounded out that 15th place.
Yeah, I mean, some impressive stuff from the KTM. I think all the teams are figuring out the factory team, and even the Tech 3, they were 14-15 together, so they couldn't really get a lot done. But Pol Espargaró, yeah, great race from him. He was with the pack, you know, definitely with some new scenery around him on the track this weekend, but he was able to hang and stay out of trouble. Another guy that had some good pace throughout the race was Quartararo. He had the fastest lap of the race by the time it was all said and done with a 132.355. And that was on lap 20. So that was late into the race, the last third, and he was still putting in a really great time. So unfortunate for him, because now that we can see after the fact, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but with him qualifying in 10th place, maybe he could have done a little bit better if he was a little further up, you know, because he was quick throughout practice all week. So at least it's promising for him. He made some mistakes at a couple of different corners earlier on in the race, so he had to make his way through that. But I want to talk about the start real quick. So it seemed like there were some really good starts from Davi and Petrucci. Rossi, even, it was a really quick race down to that first corner, and everyone came in, elbows out, you know, and Marquez managed to muscle his way past Davi, and then Davi fell back big time. So he went from second down to like 5th or 6th, and he had to work his way back through, which he did. But that whole first corner, the aggressiveness of Marquez making it a point to be out front and stick his elbow out there to make sure he could, you know, do his own race and get out and start building that lead that he normally does. That was good until Jack Miller came up. So maybe I'll speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, it was a Moto 2, Moto 3 start, honestly, like the way they came into that first chicane. It was Marquez and a bunch of Ducatis. He got I saw the onboard of Davi, and it was just him and Petrucci sandwiched Marquez going into turn one. Like, it was exciting right off the bat, like that, like you said. I don't know if maybe that Ducati launch control is working really well, but they're doing work with it.
Yeah, and Miller, during the race when he was challenging for first, actually overtook Marquez, which they said the commentators talking about that hasn't happened in a long time where he's been overtaken during a race. Usually if he's out in front, he's out in front, and that's the end of it. So Marquez wouldn't let that last, though. I think it was 2 laps and Miller had the lead before Marquez ended up taking it back from him. And Miller ended up pushing so hard that he chewed up a lot of his tire early on, or a lot earlier on than he would have liked, and ended up not being a total sitting duck because he was still in contention at the end with Valentino. But he ended up getting picked off by Davi and Petrucci. And the Ducatis, they did okay on the straights as far as getting away, but more so against the Yamahas than against that Honda of Marquez. And I'm sure that has a lot to do with Marquez's ability as a rider, but they didn't seem to be able to gain as much, you know, when Davi and Petrucci were making their way through the pack, they were having a much easier time picking off the Yamahas, I believe, than they were trying to catch that Ducati with Marquez up near the front. So, yeah, I don't know. It was interesting for me.
He went through, I think, lap 8, dropped into the 32s, and never looked back.
Yeah. Yeah, super crazy. I mean, the model of consistency, no mistakes. We saw some mistakes from Petrucci because he was up front initially, but ran wide at a couple corners and had to fall back and fight his way back through the pack. So once, I mean, it seems like every other rider made one or two mistakes throughout the race. And as soon as you do that, you put yourself out of the conversation. You're not going to be able to catch Marquez because he's going to be perfect at the front. And that's just the way it's going to go. So some honorable mentions, I think. So Crutchlow started 15th, made his way up to 9th, was even further up before that, but got picked off by Quartararo because he was making his charge through, sitting those fastest laps. So yeah, there's some good movers throughout the field. Lorenzo moved the wrong way down to 11th place. And Rossi, no podium challenge, no late push for him this week. Sometimes we'll see that at the end of the race. And it'll perk your ears up and you can see the doctor go to work, but didn't have the tire this weekend. I think a lot of confusion with the teams on setups. You know, what do you think about that as far as not having the time under the dry and with the soft tire and maybe not having the bike set up as optimal as they normally would have it? So.
Absolutely. Like, everybody was expecting a wet race today. We saw all day yesterday was wet. They're talking about today in a wet race. And we had talked about before the people that were at the front in the dry on Friday and wet on Saturday were completely different. And that showed today. Like, Rossi, again, had a terrible Friday in the dry. And today he was just maintaining where he was at. That's all he could do. You did mention Quartararo had that. He got swallowed up at the beginning and then he made a mistake on the first lap too. And it's just, he was on fire those last probably 10, 15 laps. Like, he was just moving. And him and Morbidelli end up making the top 10. So that's good for that Petronas team himself.
Yeah, at the end of the day, 7-8 finish, not the end of the world, considering the wild card that was this weekend in that race. And they did show good pace and shows good promise going forward. Seems like a well-rounded team with some really good riders that are still very young and learning and gaining that experience as they go. So no worries at all about Morbidelli and Quartararo or that team at all. So I expect to see them fighting, you know, for those spots. Maybe some podium finishes if they're lucky soon, but right outside of the top three is where I expect to see them in the future. Rins started way back in 19th and ended up finishing 10th. So I guess that's as much as you can salvage there, salvage 6 points. But he's really no longer in the conversation, it seems like, with the championship looking like Marquez at the top and Davi 8 points behind. And then after that, it drops down to like a 20-point, 33-point difference. So a big gap there at the top. So Davi needs to take the fight to Marquez in the coming races and see what they can do to try and keep this interesting and not let it get, you know, taken away from them. What about Vinales? He went down. There was actually some weird – on the warm-up lap, we had two riders go down. I think it was Carol Abraham and another. I don't know.
John Mir.
Yeah, Mir. It almost looked like a slick spot to me on the track when they both went down in the same area. But I guess they were talking about front brake issues, I guess, and grip. So, yeah, I was nervous there on the – go ahead.
That was a really weird – if you watch the – I don't – it was like a panic brake almost looking thing. I don't know what.
But they both did it like at the same – absolutely. Time in the same spot. I didn't know, they didn't talk about slick or anything, but I was waiting for that next first lap to see if there was any, I don't know if there was something on the track, who knows, but luckily everything was all right. So, but yeah, Vinales got taken out, I think, no fault of his own. Is it 2 weeks in a row? He looked fast all weekend too. So throughout practice, at least in the dry, he was looking good and he got taken out during the race. So that's unfortunate. He did do 21 laps, which is,
no, he was 21 laps behind.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, 21 laps behind. My bad.
Yeah, he got taken out by Bagnaia pretty early in the race, it seemed like.
Yep.
But he was pretty far back in the pack anyway. I'm not sure. He may have fought for some points, but I don't – who knows what pace he actually would have showed.
Yeah, and talk about pace, they showed it a lot. But Marquez in that fourth sector, 0.2 every lap, just – he went from 0.8 to second 0.2, you know, just built like it was insane. I don't know how he just had that line dialed in and nobody else could match his pace through that sector specifically. Because everybody else was able to keep up that long right, you know, in a turn one and throughout those switchbacks, but or the chicane, excuse me, but that fourth sector is where he just made up. He made all his money this weekend in that one sector. So impressive as always from Mark Marquez.
Another clinic.
Yeah. So we're looking at the next couple races. Mugello, and then Barcelona-Catalunya, and then Assen. So not sure who we like in those upcoming races. I guess a home race for half the field in Italy and then a home race for half the field in Spain, right? They all like how they all say it's my home race, Petrucci and Rossi and all. It's like, yeah, because you're all, half of them are all Italians or Spaniards. So it's a home race for a lot of people. Next.
If you're going to Italy, I'd say watch out for Ducati coming up, because that is where they just, they seem to dominate there every year.
Right. Yeah, last year, I'm looking at it right now, Jorge Lorenzo took the win last year, and Andrea Dovizioso was second with Rossi in third place, and then two Suzukis behind him. Yeah, that was last year's results. Looking for Marquez on here, and I don't see.
I can't remember.
There he is, 16th. Okay, wow, I never had looked that low before. So 39 seconds behind last year. I'm not sure. Maybe we have to watch a replay to get ourselves primed up for that race. But yeah, Ducati for sure, I think, with the advantage. And then looking forward to Catalunya was Ducati again. Lorenzo won. So that's when Lorenzo started putting together that string last season with those wins that he had. So yeah, he won back-to-back at Mugello and Catalunya. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And Marquez was second in Spain. And Valentino Rossi again third. So it'll be interesting. But overall, I think it was a pretty good race this weekend. We had some excitement at the beginning. Lots of action with the two Ducatis. Towards the end of the race, I was worried they were going to get tied up, and then you'd see Miller and Rossi on the podium. But thankfully, they didn't do that, because the points championship would have been blown out of the water at that point.
Yeah, cool. I agree with that. I hope to see what KTM does the next couple of races. Their advantage here at Le Mans was they had done some testing. I think that definitely showed that they had been on this track very recently and knew where their setup needed to be, kind of thing.
Right. And then yesterday, I couldn't think of the name of the rider, and you hooked me up with it. What was it?
Mick Doohan.
Mick Doohan, Australian. So, yeah.
Davi tied his record for podiums today.
Right. So if you were listening yesterday and you heard me fumble over who Mick Doohan was and his record for the most podiums that Marquez was three away from, pole positions that Marquez was three away from, Davi tied his podium record today. So, which is crazy because Davi, I think, and this is the era right now, but I think racing with anybody else besides Marquez, he might, you know, had a whole different career and some championships under his belt. He's kind of the firm number two all the time, which is unfortunate, but I mean, he's still up there. He's in the conversation. So hopefully he can take the fight this year. All right, guys. Well, that's been a recap of the French GP. Catch us next week. We'll be talking some F1, the Kentucky Derby of Formula One races next weekend. So that'll be Monaco. Lots of money, lots of action, hopefully tight street circuit, and hopefully the Red Bulls can take this fight to Mercedes, because the Ferrari, I don't think is going to do well there. But yeah, stay tuned, and we'll get you ready next weekend and recap all the action after the race. Thanks, Nash, for helping out this weekend. Yeah, as always, drop us a line at theweeklyovertake@gmail.com. If you like the show, please leave a review, share with your friends and family, and subscribe. Thanks again. Talk to you later.